There's a famous song. Famous song, you need to know it. Be a good father. Okay. The Hebrew version is as follows. Paro bipijama be'emtza halayla. Everyone heard it? Rabbi Wolf? Yeah, Baruch Hashem. In English, it goes as follows. Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night. Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night. Paro. Okay. Now, what's that song about? It's very important. It's from the basics of Judaism from the young age. What's it about? It's about a pasuk in this week's parsha. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed. We're about to, we're experiencing the Makas Bechoros, the 10th of the 10 Makos, the most difficult one, the harshest one. Vayakam Paro Laila. Paro got up in the middle of the night. Hu v'chol avada v'chol Mitzrayim, everyone. Vatit zakak glob Mitzrayim. Was shouting throughout the whole land of Egypt. Ki ein bayis asher ein shameis. Every single household was stricken. There was someone that died in that household. And Rashi says, what does it mean, vayakam paro laila? He got up in the night. Rashi says, what does it mean, he got up? Mimitato. He was in his bed. He was sleeping. Okay, so now let's take a step back for a second and try to appreciate what's going on over here. There were 9 plagues already that were pretty bad, right? They got hit pretty badly in Egypt. And Paro gets warned that a 10th plague is going to come, which is going to be worse than them all. And he still had the ability, appreciate this, he still had the ability to put on his pajamas and go into bed. Meaning like as if nothing was going on. I'm just going for a shluff now. And then all of a sudden there was a lot of screaming and everything was in chaos and he got up. Can you believe that? He knew what was coming. He knew how bad it was. He knew this meant business and he was able to go to sleep. That's pretty rough. Even some of us good schluffers would still have a hard time to go to sleep. And, you know, a little nervous, a little angst, something. You know, peek out of the, you know, the curtain, see if it's really true. Something! He just went to sleep. It's unbelievable. How was he able to do that? Now, we see this midah of Paro already a couple times throughout the parashios. For example, in last week's parsha, when it came to the Makkah of Dam, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk of Gimel, it says, Vayifein Paro, Paro turned, Vayavobe, so he came back home, and he didn't pay attention. He didn't pay attention to the Makkah of Dam that was there. And then later, in the Makkah of Barad, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Tes, there's a warning. Va'ata shlacha es mitnacha, the ace, kol ashelcha basadeh, kol adam v'abayim asher yimsa basadeh, all of the people and the animals that are found in the field, v'lo yasef abayta, and that weren't brought into the house, v'yar alim al-barad v'mesu, they'll get attacked, they'll get hit by the hail, and they'll die. So, anyone with a half a brain would say, well, then let me bring my cattle into the barn. Let me bring them inside. They told us. There are already 6 plagues. Moshe Rabbeinu was right every single time. And even if you're not sure, you're not positive, does this God mean business or not? But what do you got to lose? He's saying that anything that's going to be in the field is going to get nailed. So just bring it inside. And again, you don't lose anything. And what happens? The pasuk says, so those who cared brought him inside. Again, the same word. His heart was not put towards it, al-davar Hashem, to the words of Hashem. They lost it. And that's what happened. All the animals that got nailed in the Makkah of Barad was very simply because they just left them outside. When they were warned, they could have brought them inside and the animals would have been saved. So what do we see? We see that Paro just didn't pay attention to the obvious, to the extent that he was even able to go to sleep the night of Makkas Bechoros. That's why it's important. Anytime you hear a song from your kids, you gotta ask them, you know, what's behind it? Try to understand. This is an unbelievable chazal that he was able to do that. Now, how that happened? It's very simple. Very often, when things are obvious, they can be straight in front of us. We know the truth. We know what we're supposed to be doing. But if we don't pay attention to it, we don't focus on it, we don't have set goals of how to get to what we need to get to, so then we veer off. It happens to all of us throughout our lives. And therefore, Paro knew what the right thing was. Paro knew what was going on, but he was able to say, you know what, I'm not going to pay attention to this. I'm going to go ahead and look towards something else. And Paro appreciated the value of focus, of zeroing in, of paying attention. And that's why when Bnei Yisrael started to ask Paro, look, we'd like to go out and we'd like to party, we'd like to serve our God, what did he say? We'll add on the work. We'll give them more work. So that what? Like the Maseilas Yesharim explains, they won't be able to think anymore. As long as Bnei Yisrael won't be able to think, as long as Bnei Yisrael won't be able to focus, they won't be able to pay attention to what's right in front of their eyes, they will forget about it. And he was matzliach to the extent that when Hashem, when Moshe went ahead and announced, okay, we're going to leave now, the pasuk says, we're too busy, please, Moshe, please, we're busy now, come on, leave us alone. They couldn't hear it, it was right in front of them. Moshe was telling them, we're going out, it's going to go. Please, Moshe, please bother us a little later, we're very busy working now. That was Paro's strategy, and he was matzliach, he was successful. That's what Maseilas Yesharim says, that we have a Paro in every single generation. That the Yitzhahara is always trying, no matter what it is, in every generation it changes. Sometimes it could be, in the olden days, you know, you had to go ahead, if you wanted to get a cup of milk, you had to go milk your own cow. That was a big pain in the neck. Okay, so now we don't have that distraction, right? But we have other distractions. But in every generation, there's something that totally clouds our ability to focus. There's a lot of noise. We know what the obvious is, but we're so busy, we're so involved in things that we can't just stop to be able to focus. And Paro, even though he knew that that was the strategy to be matzliach, to be successful in life, and that's why he made sure the Jews wouldn't have it, he himself couldn't do it. And then he was even, to the extent, able to go to sleep the night of Machzis Bechoros. There was one person, though, that we see in the Chumash, that was able to focus. The pasuk says, in the beginning of Parshas Yisro, Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard, and he came to convert to Judaism. What did he hear? Different opinions. Either he heard Matan Torah, or he heard the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. He's like, whoa, this is amazing. I want in. Okay, now, we would have thought Kriyas Yamsuf happened to the whole, everyone saw it in the whole world. Chazal said people's bathtubs split in the, so everyone knew about Kriyas Yamsuf. But, excuse me, we don't hear that thousands and millions of people just came to convert to Judaism. We hear about one guy named Yisro. What's the deal? Why, if it happened to everyone, and everyone saw what happened, everyone saw the incredible miracles of Hashem, why was it only Yisro that actually came to join the team? And the answer is because by Yishma Yisro, Yisro was able to hear. What does it mean to hear? What does Shema mean? Okay. So I heard this idea a few years ago, and then someone showed it to me that it's in the back of Rev. Arya Kaplan's meditation book. Okay. He says as follows. He says, when there's a lot of noise, static, right? White noise, as they call it. I know someone that, you know, they have these noise machines. Some people only can go to sleep if they have a noise machine. They put the noise machine and their kids can't go to sleep if it's too quiet. So they put the noise machine, white noise, they call it. So what does the white noise sound like? Static. Sounds like shh. That's what it sounds like. Okay. The opposite of that noise is okay. Okay. Sh is the letter shin. Is a more straight sound. That's the letter mem. When you have a shin, a noise, a static, it's busy, can't really make sense of what's going on, and then you move to a mem, what do you have? So you have a lot of things. So for example, there are a lot of people in this room right now. If I go ahead and say, Evan, so what did I do? I gave him a name, Shame. Shame is a name. Because why? Because there are a lot of people, but I focused in, I zeroed in to one specific person. I gave clarity, confusion, clarity. I went from a shin to a mem, and therefore as the name Shame. Or, let's say, I don't know where to go. What should I do? What are the directions? I'm confused. I'm lost. Sham. Go over there. Sham. There. I point. There's multiple possibilities, but Shin Mem, I take a wolf from the Shin to the Mem, very, very specific place. I point it in a certain direction. And obviously, that's what the word Shma means. What does Shma mean? To listen. What am I doing when I'm listening? It doesn't mean that something went into one ear and it just got there. A proper listening, a Shma, is when there's a lot of noise out there, there's a lot of information, maybe lots of stuff on the internet, a lot of different opinions of different things. It's a whole billboard, it's a whole confusion out there. And I listen. What do I listen? It means that I'm able to go ahead and balance all of that confusion and direct it to one thing, to focus it, to really internalize a message. Not to get tons of information. That's not called listening. That's not called Shema. Okay, you've absorbed information. But to Shema means that I totally am able to zero in on a lot of information, focus that information, and bring it to a certain point. That's why Hirsch says that the Hebrew word for an ear is the ozen. The ozen is the same root as the word mosnayim. Mosnayim is a scale. It's a weight. That those, you know, those old-fashioned scales. One side, right? It's a balancing scale. Because the ozen is the part of our body which allows us, okay, anyone who knows anything about biology, the vestibular system is linked to our ear. It's in our ear, which means that when a pilot has vertigo, etc., it's because inside his ear, the vestibular system is off, and he loses balance. If a person loses balance, there's a problem with that part of the ear. The ear is the part of our body that allows a person to be balanced, and therefore a balancing scale shares the same word as ozen. But on a deeper level, our ear is what allows us to balance. An enormous amount of balancing has to occur when we absorb information. It's not just about memorizing and hearing things. You have to be shama, is we take the different things that are coming in and we're able to pinpoint and direct it, the shin and the mem, to focus it to something much more real. Now this is something that we all struggle with and we will continue struggling with forever. The question is, how good can we get at dealing with it? There's a lot of noise out there. Tons of noise. Philosophical noise, informational noise, everything. Opinions, it's the new thing. You know, everyone has to have an opinion and everyone's opinions are open and out there and you can read it. There's no end to the amounts of possibilities and ideas that you could hear. If you know all those possibilities, you are nowhere. You didn't get anywhere. You're never going to do anything. You can't move. You can't move forward. You can never go anywhere and be successful in anything in life when all you have is all of that noise. It's very, very important to learn, what do I need to be able to focus? How do I focus what I get and focus it so that I could go ahead and move forward? The more that we stay in the shin world, it doesn't work. We have to take the shin, which is there, and move it into the mem. We have to be able to take time and focus. And every person has to think, what are his distractions? Everyone has distractions. Everyone's distractions are different than each other. What are the distractions? Is it a friend? Is it my phone? Is it something that I like to watch? Is it my coffee that I need? I don't know. Every single person has something different that just pulls them out of their ability to focus. And we have to try to start exercising ourselves and our minds to try to figure out I'm going to have a focus time. So you could start. I think every person could make a list of a couple things that distract them. Okay? And then you say, okay, I'm going to take a 10-minute point of just focusing. Just focusing. And the next day, it could be 12 minutes. And then 15 minutes. We can build it up. And whatever that distraction is, no matter what, if someone's going to come over to me and talk to me, I can't talk to you. If someone in my phone, that's it, I give away my phone. If it's something that, whatever it is that's distracting, we just go ahead and we focus. We just learn how to focus on things. And when we see a lot of information, and we don't know what to do with that information, we sit down with someone and say, what am I supposed to do? How do I absorb this in a proper way so that I could move forward out of it? I don't just get stuck in all those possibilities and all that information. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will be zocha, that just like Yisro, Vayishma Yisro, he heard it. He was able to see what's there, and he was able to see the emes. He was able to see what's true, and he's able to take them forward, to have to join the Klal Yisrael. have a son in law like Moshe Rabbeinu. He struck gold, right? He's able to go ahead and do it and be successful. He won't end up when the world's falling apart in his pajamas in the middle of the night, just chilling. That's not what we want. We want to be able to shasli. We want to be able to put our leave towards what we want it to be towards, to be able to block out all that noise, to be able to focus in, and then Be'ezet Hashem will see that we're going to be so, so much more successful in everything in life. We'll be less anxious, we'll be able to balance things properly, we'll be able to weigh things out, decisions and movements that we have, everything, our advancements in life will all be in a healthy, healthy way. As long as we're able to acquire this incredible tool, very, very powerful and important tool called focusing. The bracha to all of us is that we're able to focus and anything that distracts us to push out and allow us to push forward, and we can enjoy the success that we all deserve.